Hello, this is Talking Book Steve, and this week's edition of the Black Country Talking newspaper is for Wednesday, the 2nd of September.
Welcome to the Black Country Talking News, brought to you by Sightless Charity, Beacon Centre. I'm Simon. We are pleased to inform you that our Talking News service is now once again available in CD format. And to those who have received their CD in the post, you'll notice they're in paper envelopes, not the usual plastic wallets, so there's no need to send anything back. Our Talking News service is also available via the following methods. Online, by visiting Beacon's website, www.beaconvision.org/talking-news, as a podcast on the Black Country Radio website, www.blackcountryradio.co.uk/on-air/podcasts. On Spotify and Apple Podcasts, simply search Beacon Black Country Talking News and hit the subscribe button, and on your mobile or tablet device by downloading the free British Wireless for the Blind Talking News application from your App Store. We hope you enjoy this week's edition. Next week, the 7th of September, and the following week, the 14th of September, we're going to be bringing you a slightly different Talking News. During lockdown, Beacon temporarily suspended sending out the Black Country Talking News on CD, but still produced it online and in digital formats. So for our CD listeners, we're going to bring you some of those items we've previously done, but you missed. Plus, we've got one or two new items as well. Next week and the week after, we're bringing you a magazine-style Black Country Talking News, with our news service returning back as normal on the 23rd of September. But on this week reading, we have Christine, Mina, Ian, Sophie, Flashback, Roger, Angela, Pete, and of course me, Simon. Included this week is our weekly quiz. We look at this week in history with our flashback section. We look at the eye condition glaucoma, news from the Wolves and West Bromwich Albion, a talking book review, the weather for the weekend and next week, an update from Beacon, a roundup of local news, plus a music quiz to end. Now, last week's music quiz. Have you got the answers, Pete?
I have the answers here, Simon. So, question one was, in 1965... which Welsh legend had his first number one with It's Not Unusual? Well, the answer was Tom Jones. But you knew that, didn't you? Question number two, led by Judith Durham, which group took a morning town ride to number two in 1966? The answer was The Seekers. And question number three, who took Puppet on a String to number one in 1967? It was also a Eurovision Song Contest winner as well, wasn't it? The answer, Sandy Shaw. So thank you to Andy Coulson, as always, for sending them in. We've got another music quiz at the end. Now, did you notice, by the way, the first question was from 1965, the second question from 1966, and the third question from 1967. Can you guess which year we start off at the end this week? Simon?
I'm going for 1968, Pete. Anyway, let's start off with some local news now with Angela and Ian, but first up, it's Christine.
People with symptoms of COVID-19 are being reminded they must book a test to help stem the spread of coronavirus in Wolverhampton. The city now has four test centres with the capacity to carry out over 1,000 tests each day. They include a drive-through centre at Aldersley Leisure Village, which is open 7 days a week from 10:30 a.m. to 3 p.m, and three walk-through centres at Shoal Road off Stafford Road, at the council-run Mountford Lane car park in Bilston, and in the car park of Whitmore Rains Health Centre, open 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Latest figures show there were an average of 13.37 cases per 100,000 people in Wolverhampton over 7 days up to the 22nd of August, compared to 17.15 cases per 100,000 people the week before.
Patients will be urged to call NHS 111 first before attending A&E in a new move aimed at helping to prevent a second coronavirus spike. Leaders hope the rollout of the service, earmarked for December, will alleviate the issue at hospitals like Russell's Hall. Health chiefs in the Black Country and Staffordshire say the rollout of the scheme would help tackle overcrowding in hospitals and curb the virus spread. It comes as space in hospital emergency departments has dwindled by around 50% due to virus measures and restrictions in place. The NHS 111 first policy, due to be rolled out in December, will see people call before travelling to A&E, with patients with less serious issues advised to see a GP or pharmacist. Those with more serious issues will be given a dedicated time slot to visit the emergency departments, with people still urged to call 999 in an emergency. People, however, will still be able to visit A&E without going through the scheme. Papers from a board meeting of the NHS England and NHS Improvement Board revealed. Chiefs hope the initiative, which has already been piloted in areas including Portsmouth and London, will ensure people receive the right care, as well as reducing the number of people attending A&E.
People in Wolverhampton are being encouraged to protect themselves and others against the flu this winter, with vulnerable groups once again eligible for a free flu jab. Vaccinations will be available through GPs or pharmacies this autumn for people aged 65 or over, pregnant women, people with certain medical conditions, people living in long-stay care, health and social care staff, carers, anyone who lives with someone who has been shielding from coronavirus, children over the age of 6 months with a long-term health condition, and children aged 2 and 3. Pupils from reception through to year 7 can be vaccinated for free by a quick and painless nasal spray, and the award-winning Flu Fighters campaign will be returning once more to encourage pupils to get their vaccines. People who are not eligible for the free vaccinations can still get vaccinated at many pharmacies for a small charge.
Disadvantaged youngsters in the Black Country are more than 18 months behind their better-off peers by the time they sit their GCSEs, new figures reveal. The figures from the Education Policy Institute showed that the gap was highest in Dudley, where disadvantaged youngsters fell 21.2 months behind children from better-off backgrounds by the age of 16. In Wolverhampton, the gap is 18.8 months. In Staffordshire, the gap was even bigger, with disadvantaged pupils, defined as having been eligible for free school meals sometime in the past 6 years, falling 22.2 months behind. The report looked at the performance of youngsters in 2019 figures. It also showed large disparities in the number of children classed as disadvantaged, accounting for more than a third of secondary school pupils in Wolverhampton, 18% in Staffordshire, and in Dudley just over a quarter of pupils were classified as disadvantaged. The figures did show, though, that the gap appeared to be closing in Wolverhampton. However, in Dudley and Staffordshire it had widened compared to 2012. Education chiefs have stressed there is more to be done to tackle the educational gap for disadvantaged pupils.
Life-saving supplies of PPE were delayed at the beginning of the pandemic as supply chains failed while councils dealt with conmen selling unsafe products. A stark report to Dudley Council has revealed that while government stocks failed, more than 90% of offers to sell personal protective equipment to West Midlands authorities were spurious. Examples of how conmen tried to cash in included demanding prepayment for items that were never delivered and using false certificates to prove products met safety standards. Saying Dudley Council now has sufficient stocks of genuine PPE, the report shows how unscrupulous companies try to profit out of a worldwide shortage of life-saving equipment.
There's more local news coming up, but first let's hear what's happening at Beacon with Sophie.
Hi everyone, I'm Sophie, and I'm here to give you a quick update on what's been happening at the Beacon Centre this week. Bank Holiday Monday saw the end of Five a Fortnight. Our balloons took flight on our virtual balloon race and will continue until the race ends on Monday the 7th of September. It's been lovely to see so many donations made, and the bright, colourful balloons have all kinds of wonderful names, including Up, Up and Away and Come Fly With Me. But my personal favourite has to be a rubber duck-shaped balloon called Finny McFinfin. It will definitely be interesting to see which balloon wins the wonderful family hamper at the end of the race on Monday. As part of Five a Fortnight, we have also run a competition to find Beacon's Pet of the Year. The winner was a beautiful staffie called Sasha. We asked Sasha's owner why she should be crowned Pet of the Year, and Caroline said, "She is my best friend, she is my rock, and she has helped me through some really tough times with depression. She is just the funniest character and loves nothing more than a cuddle." Sasha sounds amazing and a well-deserved winner. Five a Fortnight might be over, but we have lots planned for the upcoming months. If you would like to be added to our mailing list to hear all about what events and fundraising activities we have planned, please email fundraising@beaconvision.org. A lot of our plans we had made earlier in the year may not be able to go ahead as we had planned, but we are working very hard on a new diary of events. We need our supporters and listeners to get involved now more than ever, and we need to become part of our Beacon family.
Listen out for those contact details coming up at the end of this week's edition. Time for some more local news now with Angela.
Adult Social Care in Dudley is introducing new digital technologies. Thanks to the biggest and most significant change to Dudley social care services in a decade. Dudley Council has invested in new information technology to improve delivering adult social care. Changes to better processes, the latest technology, more training and development for staff and better performance management tools will be made. The council is asking service users and carers to refrain from making any non-urgent requests for adult social care on Wednesday 9th of September while it works to move across to the new system. People who need urgent help and support will still be able to contact the adult access team throughout the work by calling 0300 555 0055.
Dudley is set to benefit from an investment in ultra-fast connectivity. A project to roll out an ultra-fast full fibre network to speed up the delivery of council services has been announced following an innovative partnership between the local authority and Virgin Media Business. The authority has negotiated a 5-year contract with the communications giant, which allows it to rent the company's fibre cables, using it exclusively for council traffic and managing its own data provision and speeds. The authority has been leading the way in self-provisioned networking, having successfully used dark fibre between its data centres and campus building for 20 years, allowing large volumes of data to be moved around at speed. Thanks to the partnership with Virgin Media Business, the new fibre network is now being extended to 178 remote locations, including council buildings, libraries and 105 schools who can rely on the network to deliver ultra-fast broadband to their sites, enabling better and more innovative digital learning methods. Council business will be achieved more quickly and securely, improving customer engagement and experience.
Struggling businesses in the Black Country and Staffordshire have received more than £200 million through schemes to help them survive the COVID-19 crisis, figures reveal. But with just days left for local firms to claim untouched funds, the Local Government Association says councils should be allowed to keep leftover cash to revive local economies. In March, Chancellor Rishi Sunak announced grants of between £10,000 and £25,000 for small and medium-sized businesses. Councils across the Black Country had paid £192.2 million to business properties by August the 9th, around 80% of the money available. But this means that £48.6 million remains untouched. According to the LGA, the government has told councils it will shut the schemes on August the 28th, and any unclaimed funds need to be returned. Wolverhampton Council had paid £44.5 million to business properties in the area by August the 9th. 83% of the money available. A total of £9 million has not yet been used. Dudley Council had paid £54.8 million, 82% of the total, but has £11.8 million left.
Average speed cameras would help solve the issue of speeding vehicles turning a road into a racetrack, a councillor has said. Councillor Martin Waite said residents in Penn Wolverhampton had raised concerns over high-performance car racing, with fears that a nasty accident could happen. Residents say they have heard engines being revved during the evenings and sometimes at weekends on the dual carriageway section of Penn Road. Now, Councillor Waite has said a solution could be average speed cameras, but he stressed the rollout would take some time across the city. It comes after Wolverhampton Council said they have been made aware of car cruising along Penn Road, and officials are said to be looking into the issue. Vehicles are said to start the races near the Rose and Crown pub before heading to Wimborne and back. The councillor, who is also chairman of the Active Transport in the city, said another way of tackling the issue is to steal space off the vehicle carriageway for cyclists to use. It will potentially see the road narrowed and less room for cars to race against each other, he added.
Dudley College's new £32 million Innovation Centre is rising up from the ground. The government has given the college £32.5 million to build its Institute of Technology off Castle Hill. The steel frames for the buildings, which will make up the new educational complex, are currently being assembled by construction crews ahead of the building's anticipated opening to students in September 2021. More than 2,000 learners are set to be taught at the Institute by the year 2025. It will focus on apprenticeships and offer courses in advanced manufacturing, modern construction methodologies, and medical engineering. Education and council bosses say the facility will be a boost to the region's economy. This will be extra welcome given the economic difficulties brought on by the coronavirus pandemic. Work to build the site began in October. The college says construction was delayed by 6 weeks due to the pandemic, but crews have since returned to site. The Institute is being built on a 4,750 square metre plot on Castle Hill by the planned new metro stop, the Very Light Rail Innovation Centre and the Black Country Living Museum. Dudley College was one of a number of colleges to bid for cash as part of a £170 million government funding pot for new skills institutions.
Two more local news roundups coming up shortly, but now it's come round again, it's the weekly quiz. Now remember, it needs full concentration, doesn't it, Mina?
It does, Simon. So, let's have a look at this week in history with some questions. As always, you will find the answers with Roger in our flashback section coming up later. Are you ready? Question 1. Mary Shelley was the author of her novel, Frankenstein, but what was her middle name? Question 2. In what year did Princess Diana die? Question 3. What was the date of the event that started World War II? Question 4. What was the name of the car that set the land speed record of 300 miles per hour in 1935? Question 5. Who is the foe of Mr. McGregor in his vegetable garden? Question 6. What act proved to be fatal to Jack Daniel in 1911? Keep listening for the answers with Roger. If you miss them, we'll go through all of them at the end of this week's edition. Good luck!
Now remember, the answers will be revealed with Roger in our flashback section a little bit later on, so listen out for that. But in the meantime, let's return to local news now with Ian.
People will be able to put their questions to two senior Dudley Council figures in a special screened debate. The leader and deputy leader of Dudley Council will be answering questions from the public in a live broadcast on Facebook on September the 9th. Councillor Patrick Harley and Councillor David Vickers We'll be discussing key issues such as the Council's response to the coronavirus pandemic, as well as major achievements in recent weeks with regeneration projects. People will be able to put their questions to them via the Council's Dudley Borough Facebook page and hear the answers via the live video. It is the latest in a series of live question and answer sessions, but the first during the coronavirus pandemic. The September round of community forums have been put back to next year as the Council continues to work to keep people safe, but this live session will mean people will still get the chance to raise issues and discuss concerns with key decision makers. The live session runs from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. and people need to visit the Dudley Borough Facebook page to take part or watch the live stream. The community forums are due to resume in January next year, but community groups are welcome to apply for funding of up to £5,000 from the forums. Decisions will be made by members before the next round of forums. Visit www.dudley.gov.uk and search for Community Forum Grants to find out more.
Pupils aged between 4 and 18 will return to schools and colleges across Dudley, with many children having been off school since March due to the pandemic. It will be mandatory for school-aged children across England to be back in education, and the local authority is working with educational settings to reassure parents and carers that it is safe to return. To keep everyone safe, the Council is encouraging parents to make sure they're up to date with their school's latest advice and guidance through each school's individual website, and importantly, to make sure social distancing is practiced when dropping off and picking up children from school. Parents are also asked to check timings with their schools and familiarise themselves with any changes to public transport by keeping up to date with the latest details from the West Midlands Network.
Work on a new £28 million School of Architecture at the University of Wolverhampton has taken another step forward as bosses took delivery of the keys to the new building. Main contractor, ISG, officially handed keys over on Springfield campus following completion of the building work, which started in October 2018. The new building, designed by Birmingham-based Associated Architects, is the latest addition to the university's £100 million investment in a new campus at the former brewery. The new School of Architecture offers specialist teaching and social learning spaces, design studios, specialist labs, multidisciplinary workshops, lecture theatre, cafe, offices, meeting rooms, ICT rooms, and a top floor super studio with double height ceilings. It will provide space for nearly 1,100 existing students and 65 staff, with the number of students projected to grow over time to 1,600. The school will specialise in supporting skills in architecture, construction, civil engineering, building control, building services, facilities management, quantity surveying, planning, construction management, housing and commercial. It is due to open in September 2020.
The effects of Storm Francis have continued to be felt after homes and businesses took another battering last week. A mixture of winds of up to 70 miles an hour and heavy rainfall caused havoc across the Black Country and Staffordshire on Tuesday and into Wednesday, leaving debris and damage on roads and around homes. Shoppers in Wolverhampton struggled to keep their feet during the heavy winds, and tourist attractions such as Dudley Zoo closed their doors as a safety precaution. Rescue teams were called out to Trescott Ford, a notorious flooding spot between Bridgnorth and Wolverhampton, after reports of a vehicle being submerged in fast-flowing water from Smestow Brook. Smestow Brook was one of a number of rivers to flood or have flood warnings given due to the storm, with roads and farmland affected by rising levels on the River Sow and River Penk. A tree collapse caused delays in Hales Owen on Furnace Lane, while in Kings Winford strong winds caused bins to fall into parked cars, cladding was ripped off houses, and drivers were delayed after a large tree branch broke off on Bromley Lane following strong gusts of wind.
A click and collect service has been rolled out to three more libraries in Wolverhampton after a successful trial at the Central Library. The We Select You Collect service now enables customers to pre-order books and other items online or over the phone and pick them up from Central Library, Waterstones Library, Wensfield Library and Bilston Library. Items can be collected at a pre-arranged time between 10 a.m. and 3:30 p.m. weekdays or 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Saturdays. Members can request specific titles via the online library catalogue by emailing libraries@wolverhampton.gov.uk or by calling 01902 552 025.
Our final news roundup on the way, plus news from our local football clubs too. Now, last week, one of Beacon's sight loss advisors, Sharon, spoke about glaucoma and eye drops. So let's take a further look at glaucoma now with Pete.
One of the most common eye conditions is glaucoma, which is part of a group of eye diseases which result in damage to the optic nerve, resulting in loss of vision. It is the second most common cause of sight loss around the world, and the number of people diagnosed with the condition is set to rise due to an ageing population. There are many types of glaucoma, and similar to macular degeneration, it is painless. So it also goes unnoticed for a while until changes are noticed. Many people do not realise they have glaucoma, and it is often only picked up during a routine eye test. So if you do notice any symptoms, they might include blurred vision or seeing rainbow-coloured circles around bright lights. It might be an indication of glaucoma. It can take many years for the condition to develop, affecting your peripheral vision first. Open-angle glaucoma is the most common type and accounts for 90% of all cases of the condition. That's 90%. Glaucoma can lead to a loss of vision if it's not diagnosed and treated early. It can affect people of all ages, but is most common in adults in their 70s and 80s. Both eyes are usually affected, although it may be worse in one eye. Early diagnosis and treatment can help stop your vision getting worse. Glaucoma can eventually lead to blindness. Most cases are caused by a buildup of pressure in the eye when fluid is unable to drain properly. This increase in pressure then damages the optic nerve that connects the eye to the brain. Now, why this happens is often unclear, but it could be your age, as glaucoma becomes more common as you get older, your ethnicity. People of African, Caribbean or Asian origin are often at a higher risk. Or it could be your family history. You're more likely to develop glaucoma if you have a parent or sibling with a condition. Other medical conditions such as short-sightedness, long-sightedness and diabetes can also be connected. It is not clear whether you can do anything to prevent glaucoma, but having regular eye tests should pick it up as early as possible. Several quick and painless tests can be carried out to check for glaucoma, including vision tests and measurements of the pressure inside your eye. Eye pressure tests uses a puff of air and doesn't touch the eye to check the eye pressure. And then there's a visual field test that checks for missing areas of vision. That's where you're shown a sequence of light spots and asked to press a button to indicate which ones you can see. Some dots will appear at the edges of your vision, that's your peripheral vision, which is often the first area to be affected by glaucoma. If tests suggest you have glaucoma, you should be referred to a specialist eye doctor or an ophthalmologist to discuss the treatment. It is not possible to reverse any loss of vision that occurred before glaucoma was diagnosed, but treatment can help stop your vision getting worse. And the treatment could be eye drops to reduce the pressure in your eyes, could be laser treatment to open up the blocked drainage tubes or reduce the production of fluid in your eyes, and sometimes surgery to improve the drainage of the fluid. It is advised to have an eye test every 2 years, unless you're advised to have one more frequently.
More sight loss news on next week's magazine edition of the Black Country Talking News. Our final local news roundup now, here's Christine.
The top baby names for the region have been revealed. Office for National Statistics figures show the most popular baby names across the country for 2019, with Amelia and Mohammed taking top spot for the West Midlands overall. A more local breakdown shows that Amelia was the most popular girl's name in Wolverhampton, Sandwell and Walsall, while Olivia was the preferred choice in Dudley, Stafford, South Staffordshire and Cannock Chase. Oliver was the favourite boy's name in Dudley and Cannock Chase, with Mohammed the top choice in Walsall and Sandwell, while it was Noah in Wolverhampton, Harry in Stafford and Theo in South Staffordshire. Nationally, Oliver remained the most popular name for boys in England and Wales for the seventh year in a row, ahead of George and Noah. Olivia topped the girls' list for the fourth year in succession. The top names in the West Midlands for the girls are Amelia, Olivia, Ava, Isla, Grace, Freya, Mia, Isabella, Ivy and Sophia. And for the boys, they were Mohammed, Oliver, George, Noah, Arthur, Harry, Jacob, Charlie and Leo.
Wolves are holding free football sessions for youngsters at parks around the city following the coronavirus lockdown. Youngsters aged 8 to 18 have been enjoying sessions from football, golf to football tennis and 7 versus 7 matches. The initiative is being run by the Wolves Foundation, the club's charitable arm at East Park, West Park and Bantock Park. Usually the foundation is based at Aldersley Leisure Stadium in Claregate. Football, golf and tennis is being held at East Park on Tuesdays from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. 7-a-side matches are being held at West Park on Wednesdays from 4 until 6 p.m. and Bantock Park on Fridays from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. However, people must book slots with club coaches beforehand. The coaches observe strict safety guidelines implemented from the Football Association, Wolves, the government and Wolverhampton Council. Equipment is given a thorough clean and wipe down at the end of each session. Anyone wishing to take part in the sessions can visit www.wolves.co.uk/foundation.
Wolverhampton-born star Liam Payne and his girlfriend Maya Henry are engaged. The former One Direction singer, who rose to fame through reality TV show The X Factor, popped the question with a diamond ring that reportedly set him back $3 million. Liam, aged 26, grew up in Bushbury, but was seen out with Texan-born model Maya, 20, in London, with Maya sporting the new ring. He attended St Peter's Collegiate School before heading to Wolverhampton College to study music technology. News of their engagement has remained under wraps, largely because the big proposal took place during lockdown.
I'll still be around. You might catch me driving the 59 bus to Wensfield. Radio legend Dickie Dodd hosted his final breakfast show for Signal 107 last week after 20 years of being a familiar voice in thousands of Black Country households. It may be the end of an era. Hundreds signed a petition begging his bosses to keep him on the show after news of his redundancy broke. But the 46-year-old now has his sights firmly set on the future. He even said he might put his bus licence to good use. He could be driving passengers round the Black Country streets any time soon. I want to thank everyone who's been there for me in my career, he said. This chapter has ended, but I can't wait to get started on the next one. I'm still going to be continuing with my breakfast show for Rock FM in Cyprus too. I do that every day. This will be a massive life change, not just for me, but for my family too. So I'm grateful for the opportunities I've had.
A pensioner has had the surprise of a lifetime after returning from hospital to find out he was an author. Brian Browning from Purton had returned home after a spell in New Cross Hospital and was surprised to find his novel Secrets was on sale on Amazon and had already earned him more than £1,000 in royalties. The 84-year-old had written the romance 10 years ago after retiring but had lost it on his computer. However, he had kept a hard copy which he lent to his grandson Samuel Leeds to read, with Samuel and his wife Amanda working to write up the story and get it published. Brian said he was gobsmacked to find his grandson had got the book published and then presented him with the amount he had earned from the sale of the printed edition and Kindle version. He said, "I was just dumbfounded when he told me I'd sold more than 1,000 copies. It's like Christmas coming. It's always been my dream to have a book published and I'm so thrilled. It's the best gift he could have given me. I can't thank him enough. Based on real events, Secrets spans three decades, beginning with the Second World War, and tells the story of a mother and daughter who discover how cruel love can be. A web of secrets is slowly revealed as lives are unravelled in the knife-edge world of war and the ensuing years. The 388-page novel also focuses on one family's struggle to regain normality after the war years, as well as exploring the rise and decline in British manufacturing and the obstacles facing women in the work environment. Secrets is available on Amazon at £12 for the paperback or £1.99 on Kindle.
Sports news to follow, but now with the answers to the quiz and a look at this week in history, it's over to Flashback Roger.
This is our flashback section for the weeks the 30th of August to the 5th of September of past years, where we look back at some events in history and where you'll find answers to questions that were set earlier. Mary Wollstonecraft Shelley, creator of Frankenstein, was born on August the 30th, 1797. During the rainy, cold, volcanic summer of 1816, known as the Year Without a Summer, caused by the eruption of Mount Tambora, 18-year-old Mary was challenged to write a horror story. Shortly afterwards, she had a waking dream of a corpse brought back to life. She thought, how supremely frightful would it be the effect of any human endeavour to mock the stupendous mechanism of the creator of the world? She expanded her dream into the classic novel. She was the wife of poet Percy Bysshe Shelley. On August the 31st, 1997, Princess Diana, the then Princess of Wales, died as a result of injuries sustained in a car crash in Paris. On September the 1st, 1939, World War II began when Germany invaded Poland, starting World War II. Great Britain and France would declare war on Germany 2 days later on the 3rd of September 1939, when Germany refused to withdraw its forces from Poland. The war in Europe lasted for almost 6 years and ended in May 1945. On September the 3rd, 1935, a 300-mile-per-hour land speed record was set by Sir Malcolm Campbell. He drove his 2,500-hp V12 engine Bluebird for two runs over a one-mile course, averaging 301.129 miles per hour. The record was set at the Bonneville Salt Flats in Utah, but the current land speed record is 763 miles an hour, and that was set in 1997. September the 4th, 1893, the fictional foe of Mr. McGregor, Peter Rabbit, is created when Beatrix Potter writes a letter to a friend about four little rabbits named Flopsy, Mopsy, Cottontail and Peter. She later expanded the letter into the book. The tale of Peter Rabbit, which was rejected by several publishers, has now become one of the best-selling books of all time. Jack Daniels, the famous American whiskey maker, was born on the September the 5th, 1846, and according to legend, he died in 1911 of blood poisoning from a wound incurred while kicking his safe because he'd forgotten the combination. Temper, temper. Anyway, that's a short quiz this week, although there's six questions. Good luck with them all. Next week when I see you again, bye-bye now. Ta-da for now. Bye-bye.
Now, don't forget, we'll run through all the answers to the quiz at the end of this week's edition. Now, the weather. What's it looking like, Mina?
Relatively dry, with temperatures picking up just a little this week. The sunrise and sunset times are 6:27 a.m. for sunrise and 19:46 p.m. for the sunset. Now, Friday, 4th of September, we are looking at light rain and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 17 degrees with low pollen and UV levels. Saturday, 5th of September, we are looking at sunny intervals and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 16 degrees and medium UV levels. Moving on to Sunday, 6th of September, we have sunny intervals again and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 17 degrees and again medium UV levels. Monday, 7th of September, we have light cloud and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 19 degrees and medium UV levels. Tuesday, 8th of September, we have sunny intervals and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 20 degrees and medium UV levels. Moving on to Wednesday, 9th of September, again we have sunny intervals and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 20 degrees and medium UV levels. And finally, Thursday, 10th of September, we have sunny intervals and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 19 degrees and again medium UV levels. Enjoy the weather.
And you, Mina. Now, with the football season fast approaching, here's some news from our local football clubs with Ian.
Matt Doherty's move from Wolves to Tottenham has been confirmed, ending a 10-year spell at Molineux. He joined Spurs on a 4-year deal after making 302 appearances in gold and black. The 28-year-old Irishman passed a medical and agreed personal terms with Tottenham. Although officially undisclosed, it is understood the fee is an outright £15 million, with no add-ons, while his former club Bohemians are due 10% after inserting a sell-on clause into the deal which took him to Molineux in 2010. The decision to allow him to leave is understood to have been made by Wolves boss Nuno Espirito Santo and chairman Jeff Shee while Doherty was ready for a fresh challenge. Wolves skipper Connor Cody has been handed his first England call-up. The 27-year-old has been added to Gareth Southgate's squad for games against Iceland and Denmark in the Nations League. Also joining him is Wolves target Ainsley Maitland-Niles, after helping Arsenal win the Community Shield, beating Liverpool at Wembley. It is Cody's first senior involvement, having previously captained the under-17s to European Championship glory in 2010. He will be hoping to become the first Wolves player to get an England cap since Matt Jarvis in 2011. England face Iceland on Saturday the 5th of September, and then they go up against Denmark on Tuesday the 8th of September. Wolves have unveiled their away kit for the 2021 campaign. The blue and white shirt features an unique urban design. West Brom suffered defeat in their opening pre-season fixture, going down 1-0 to Championship opponents Nottingham Forest behind closed doors at St George's Park. Albion have been training at the footballing hub throughout the week as Slaven Bilic prepares his side for the Premier League, which kicks off in a fortnight. However, Albion failed to find the back of the net, despite coming close a number of times. Logging valuable minutes for two separate 11s, youngsters Jamie Sewell, Saul Shotton and Rayhan Tulloch also found time on the pitch alongside the Baggies' first team players. Up next for Albion is a private practice match against Football League opposition at the Baggies' training ground, before ending pre-season with an away clash against top-flight opponents in another friendly. Plenty of transfer speculation surrounding West Bromwich Albion as they appear to be edging closer to re-signing Filip Krovinovic. Alongside Krovinovic, Albion are still in talks with Sheffield United over a move for Callum Robinson, who also impressed while on loan last season. Both clubs are keen on a swap deal that would see Oliver Burke join the Blades. Albion are also weighing up a move for Watford striker Troy Deeney. The 32-year-old is being considered as a possible loan signing as the Baggies look to bolster their forward line ahead of next month's Premier League return. Though the Baggies have a limited transfer budget, a loan deal would suit both clubs. Talks are also ongoing with Brighton for goalkeeper David Button. Albion have opened talks with Wigan about a move for defender Cedric Kipre. The Paris-born centre-back looks certain to leave the Latics, who were placed in administration back in July. The 23-year-old believed to be available for around £900,000. Albion also remain in the hunt for Brighton centre-back Shane Duffy. Meanwhile, it seems likely the Baggies will miss out on signing QPR's Eberechi Eze, with reports suggesting he has turned down a move to the Hawthorns in favour of joining Crystal Palace. Former Albion coach Michael Appleton, who is now in charge of Lincoln, has confirmed he wants to sign Baggies duo Alex Palmer and Callum Morton on loan. Jonathan Lecco has left West Brom, joining local rivals Birmingham City for an undisclosed fee thought to be £1 million. The 21-year-old spent the majority of last season on loan at Charlton, managing 5 goals and 4 assists as he impressed at the Valley before suffering a season-ending knee injury. and former Villa, Albion and Man City midfielder Gareth Barry has retired from professional football. The Premier League's record appearance holder has decided to hang up his boots once and for all. Barry, who made 653 top flight appearances, played his final game in March this year, when he featured in Albion's 3-2 FA Cup defeat to Newcastle United. In total, he played in 833 senior games in a career spanning 23 years.
Thanks, Ian. Talking books now with Talking Book Steve.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's audiobook section of the Talking News. Now, I'm not normally one for your self-help books, but under the circumstances, and given that we're all in lockdown at the moment, I, for one, have been trying to change some habits, trying to be healthier, trying to exercise more, and it's been rather quite refreshing. So with that in mind, this week's book that I'm going to review is called Atomic Habits, an easy and proven way to build good habits and break bad ones. Random House presents the audiobook edition of Atomic Habits by James Clear. James Clear himself reads the book. It's a revolutionary system to get 1% better every day. People think when you want to change your life, you need to think big. But world-renowned habits expert James Clear has discovered another way. He knows that real change comes from the compound effects of hundreds of small decisions. Doing 2 push-ups a day. Waking up 5 minutes earlier. Or holding a single short phone call. He calls them atomic habits. In this groundbreaking book, Clear reveals exactly how these minuscule changes can grow into such life-altering outcomes. He uncovers a handful of simple life hacks, the forgotten art of habit stacking, the unexpected power of the 2-minute rule, or the trick to entering the Goldilocks zone, and delves into cutting-edge psychology and neuroscience to explain why they really matter. Along the way, he tells inspiring stories of Olympic gold medalists, leading CEOs and distinguished scientists who have used the science of tiny habits to stay productive, motivated and happy. These small changes will have a revolutionary effect on your career, your relationships and your life. Now, if that sounds something like that you're interested in listening to, but you're new to Talking Books, get in touch with the team at Beacon and we'll happily support you to access the whole world and libraries full of audiobooks.
Thanks, Steve. Now the quiz. Have you got the answers, Mina?
I have, Simon. So let's run through them. Question 1. Mary Shelley was the author of her novel Frankenstein, but what was her middle name? And the answer here is Wollstonecraft. Question 2. In what year did Princess Diana die? The year was 1997. Question 3. What was the date of the event that started World War II? And the answer here is 1st of September 1939, the date that Germany invaded Poland. Question 4. What was the name of the car that set the land speed record of 300 miles per hour in 1935? And the answer here is Bluebird driven by Malcolm Campbell. Question 5. Who is the foe of Mr. McGregor in his vegetable garden? And the answer here, of course, is Peter Rabbit, written by Beatrix Potter in 1893. And finally, question 6. What act proved to be a fatal to Jack Daniel in 1911? And the answer here is he kicked his safe in temper and developed blood poisoning in the wound in his foot. We have another flashback quiz for you next week, but are you ready for this week's music quiz? Simon?
I'm ready, Mina. Are you ready, Pete?
I'm ready to finish, Simon, with this week's music quiz. Now, we said at the start, we went 65, 66, 67, so what are we going to start with? Well, we're going to start with 1968. So, in 1968, who had a Christmas number one with Lily the Pink? That's question number one. So, who had a Christmas number one in 1968 with Lily the Pink? Question number two. In 1970, which male singer from Coventry had hits with Belfast Boy and Indian Reservation? Not a clue. In 1970, which male singer from Coventry had hits with Belfast Boy and Indian Reservation? And question number three. In 1971, which female legend sang about gypsies, tramps and thieves? So in 1971, which female legend sang about gypsies, tramps and thieves? Thank you again to Andy Coulson for sending them in. We do appreciate them, Andy. And as always, we will give you the answers at the start of next week's edition of the Black Country Talking News. And I think we're finished, haven't we, Simon?
So that's it for another edition of the Black Country Talking News. A reminder to our CD listeners who have received CDs in padded envelopes that you don't need to send anything back to us. If you have a sight loss tip or someone you would like to wish a happy birthday to, just say hello to. Maybe even a poem or talking book you would like reviewed, then please get in touch with us at the Beacon Centre. Call 01902 880111. Email bctn@beaconvision.org or write to us at the Black Country Talking News, Beacon, Wolverhampton Road East, Wolverhampton, WV4 6AZ. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening, and thank you to all our supporters, donators and volunteers who without their support we would be unable to run this free service. Please note the information and views expressed in this recording does not necessarily represent the views of Beacon or Talking News and were accurate at the time of recording. Mentions of goods and services does not imply endorsement, and whilst every care is taken to supply accurate information, Beacon and Talking News do not undertake liability for any errors. So it's goodbye from all of us, stay safe, have a good week, and we look forward to bringing you next week's edition of the Black Country Talking News. Ta-ra!